This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا لله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد. Okay. Where do we leave off? Who remembers? No. Oh, we definitely got past there. Well, alhamdulillah. No, we're on page 61. I'm not talking about... I'm talking about idea-wise. What did we finish with? Alhamdulillah. I'm glad everybody was on point. Yes, the person who said that we left off with Shaykh al-Islam and Taymiyyah, rahimahullahu ta'ala, emphasizing the point that there is no station that a person can reach that is higher than al-ubudiyyah. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he started again to bring back the proofs that show that there's no level that you can get to that is higher than the level of servitude, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the goal that everyone should aspire to, and that you can't get any higher than that. That's where we left off. You remember that? go to page 56. No, matter of fact, go to page 52. Go to page 52 and read the part in bold. That's the subtitle from the author. What does it say? I mean, from the translator. What does it say? Ubudiyyah is the route to perfection. You remember that now? Yeah. And we started talking about how a person becomes more complete through their servitude, through their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the author, Shaykh al-Islam, it is on, yes. The author, Shaykh al-Islam and Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, brings back some of the same ayat that he mentioned in the beginning of the book to show where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has highlighted this point in the Quran, and that is... Are they saying they can't hear upstairs? Slides are coming. I don't know what to do about hearing. Inshallah khair. Okay. Switch mics. Okay, inshallah, hopefully this does the trick. Bidnillah. All right, so to recap, we left off where? That the route to perfection is through ubudiyyah, that a person reaches completion through their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah azza wa jalla has mentioned this throughout the Quran. And it's important for you to understand this point, because you're not going to see how the author got to where he got to where we're starting today without knowing where the bridge is. All right. So I hope that point is clear. We're going to start off by asking some questions, inshallah, so that you can get your juices flowing. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I don't want you to read the question, Sheikh Mukhtar. Where's your mic, Sheikh? We're going to have somebody else read. Tayyip. Sadiq, read the first question. Right here. No, you ain't got to give him the mic.
Is ubudiyyah varying degrees? What about shirk? Can a person commit shirk without knowing? Provide evidence for your answer.
Okay, so we're looking at now al-ubudiyyah, and we want to know, is this ubudiyyah different levels, so, or is it all the same? And what about shirk? Is shirk all the same? And can a person, for example, commit shirk and they don't even realize that they committed shirk? Okay, and provide evidence for that answer. Tayyip, number two, Shaykh Abdul Basim.
What proofs does the author use to show that truth is connected?
Okay, there's evidence that shows that true servitude is the servitude of the heart. A person's hands may be in shackles, but his heart is free. And a person may have the freedom to move, right? But their heart is controlled by something. And therefore, they're not really free. Now, number three. And what is the what proof is there for that? Go ahead, read number three.
You said the following when you give up hoping.
Right, so these are our three main ideas, and this is the level, this is the order that they're going to go in. We're going to start off with being of various levels, and also talking about how shirk is of various levels. And then we'll go into what real ubudiyah constitutes, and that it is directly related to where the heart, or what the heart is attached to. And then we'll finish off by talking about the issue of asking other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mas'alatu al-khalq. And he asking the creation or created beings. Start on page 61.
If different levels of iman.
Nah.
If the above is clear, that is different levels of iman.
Yes.
Then it is obvious that people will differ greatly in this regard, that is, in the reality of iman. Thus, they may be divided into two types, rank and file, the am, that's the general, and the elite, khas. And the relationship of Allah to different people will differ accordingly. Hence, in this...
Khair. All right. If the above is clear, what is the above?
Different levels of iman.
Shaykh Islam didn't say that. That's the translator put that there. Different levels of iman. If the above is clear, wallahi, we got to learn how to read. Ikhwan, seriously, you have to learn how to read. It's not okay to continue on a path where you're spoon fed. As a Muslim, you have an obligation. Yes, come to class, learn. But you have to do your part in increasing your literacy as a Muslim. And we talked about this on several occasions. Know where the pronouns go back to. If the above is clear, know what the author is talking about. What is the above? Al-Ubudiyah. Not al-ubudiyah. What about al-ubudiyah? La. He didn't say anything about ubudiyah being different levels. La. That the route to perfection is al-ubudiyah. Nah. That the route, that the way that you get to being a complete human being, that the way you become a better servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through your servitude to Him. If that is clear, We got that? That was what was above. That's what we just took. If the above is clear, meaning that what? That your servitude is the way to perfection, to completeness as a human being, then it is obvious that people would differ greatly in this regard. That is, in the reality of Iman. Now, how did we get from Al-Ubudiyya to Iman? Juan, I want you to think. Put your thinking caps on. How did we get from Al-Ubudiyya to him saying that they are different in terms of their Iman? Yes.
How you serve Allah from your actions, and that person say serve Allah and don't do salah.
Okay. Yeah.
Iman, faith is on the limbs.
Iman is on your limbs and your tongue and in your heart. Okay, let's keep going. Tay. All right, I'm going to help you out, inshallah. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Iman is 70 some odd parts. Okay, everybody there so far. What's the highest level? La ilaha illallah. Tayyib, is there a difference between La ilaha illallah and Al-Ubudiyya?
No.
No. So what's the highest level of Iman? Al-Ubudiyya. Al-Ubudiyya. I mean, we're using different terminology. Is there a difference between al-ubudiyya, which is servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you testifying to la ilaha illallah, that Allah is the only one that deserves to be worshipped? It's no difference. So al-ubudiyya and la ilaha illallah are synonymous. So if we say that the way to completion is your completion of la ilaha illallah, you truly implementing the requirements of La ilaha illallah, then this is where we are right now. Which is, as he says, أَنَّ النَّاسَ يَتَفَاضَلُونَ فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ تَفَاضُلًا عَظِيمًا وَهُوَ تَفَاضُلُهُمْ فِي حَقِيقَةِ الْإِيمَانِ. It is there. It is the way that they vary in the reality of Iman. So Iman has different levels. And within the parts of Iman, there are different levels. So a person's actualization, if you will, of La ilaha illallah is going to be different from person to person. A person who has completed their tawheed will not have any parts of shirk. Okay? Complete tawheed negates the presence of shirk and its branches. Whereas a person may have the asl of tawheed, they have enough to get them into the fold of Islam, okay? But they are shu'ab, min shu'ab al-shirk. They are parts and branches from the branches of shirk that remain in their hearts, even though they are Muslim. So a Muslim may have a branch or parts of shirk still remaining with them, even though they're not a mushrik. Just like a mushrik may have some iman, but it doesn't make them mu'min. It doesn't make them mu'min. إِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the mushrikeen. When they go what? When they get on that boat and the waves start coming hard, رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعَوُ اللَّهِ. How? How did they call upon Allah? Along with somebody? مُخْلِصِينَ. Allah said that they were what? مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. They make the deen purely for Allah. Were they Muslim? Nah. The fact that they called upon Allah, the fact that, which is a shu'ab, min shu'ab al-Iman, dua. It's a part of Iman. And they didn't do it for anybody else. They did it solely for Allah. Didn't make a Muslim. So just like a mushrik may have some Iman, but not enough to bring them into the fold of Islam, a mu'min, a believer, a Muslim, may have, Asl al-Tawheed, they have the what is needed for the foundations of Tawheed, but they haven't completed their Tawheed, and therefore there are some branches of Shirk. And so this is what Shaykh al-Islam is talking about here as we get to now. Notice that yes, Al-ubudiyah, that servitude to Allah, that's the highest level you can get. But al-ubudiyah has degrees. Okay? And so how a person aspires to get to the top level is what is important. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, throughout the Quran, I mean, there are several indications of that. And in general, the believers are of three levels. In general. And then there's levels within those levels. Anybody know what those three levels are? Anybody was here for Salat al-Maghrib? Huh? Oh, yeah. So, Sheikh Hanif read it in Salat. Huh?
Yeah, the first one is the one who wrongs himself.
Right. The first one is Zalimul li nafsi, the one who wrongs himself. The second one is?
The second one is the one who takes the middle course.
The second one is he who takes a middle course, the muqtasid. Uh-huh. Then the third one is the one who is foremost in doing good. سابقون ثم أورثنا الكتاب الذين أصطفينا من عبادنا فمنهم ظالم لنفسه ومنهم مقتصد ومنهم سابق بالخيرات بإذن الله. بإذن الله. Right? So there's the one who has wronged himself. Meaning that what? He either does things that Allah has prohibited or he leaves off things that Allah has obligated. And those two are not the same, by the way. Leaving off what Allah has obligated is even worse in terms of a category. The muqtasid is what? The one who does what he's supposed to do. And he leaves off what he's supposed to leave off. And the sabiq bil khayrat, yani the one who strives and is foremost in doing good, is the one who adds on to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated. And he does those things that are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the recommended deeds. And he not only leaves off the haram, but he also leaves off those things that are makruh, frowned upon in Islam. Alright? And again, those are going to be of, each one of those three broad categories has categories within it. Alright? And notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, سَابِقُمْ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. That the one who is foremost in doing good, what? By Allah's permission. So that nobody thinks that they're doing this extra good because of, or that they get pride, that they have pride because of it, will become haughty. But that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed it for him. Tayyib. Just to show that al-ubudiyah is levels. And we said al-ubudiyah is the deen. Because deen and ibadah are what? Synonymous. It's one of the first things we took in the beginning of the book when we talked about the definitions, that they used interchangeably. A deen and an ibadah is... Nah. Read this, Sheikh.
Al-ubudiyah is levels. Allah's messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, while I was sleeping, I saw in a dream some people wearing shirts. Some were only covering their chests, while others were even shorter than that.
So they had on shirts. Some were only to here, to their chests. And others, the shirts were even higher than that. They just got it over their head, but it's not going down any further. Mm.
Then I saw Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, who was wearing a shirt that he was dragging. The people asked, how did you interpret that? Ya Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet, alayhi salatu wa sallam, replied, it is the religion. Bukhari on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri.
So there we have the Prophet, alayhi salatu wa sallam, clearly showing that what? A deen is different levels. Even amongst the companions themselves, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised all of them Jannah, but even amongst them, the deen wasn't the same. The level of Abu Bakr was beyond the rest of the companions. The level of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as you can see, was beyond those who were after him. Even those who accepted Islam before him. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was not on the level of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Wa radiallahu anhu sahabati ajma'in. The point here is that deen is levels. Al-ubudiyah is levels. Alright? And a person who is striving to be from the people who get the highest levels of Jannah cannot expect to get there and be at the lowest levels of deen. So striving in this life has its reward in the next, and being lazy in this life has its consequences in the next. Wallahu musta'an. Now, Sheikh.
Hence, in this ummah, the issue of shirk is subtler than the noise made by the footsteps of an ant. According to As-Sahih.
Okay, let's stop right there. Hence, in this ummah, the issue of shirk is subtler or more subtle, I'm not sure, than the noise made by the footsteps of an ant. Why or how did we get from the previous paragraph to this paragraph? Put your thinking caps on. Because in order to follow thoughts, in order to follow what's written, you have to be able to make connections. Yes. So just as there are levels of iman,
there are levels of shirk.
There are levels of shirk,
which are not apparent.
Well, some of them are and some of them aren't. That's true. Some levels of shirk are definitely not apparent.
Relating to how he's describing it,
but
the footsteps of an ant.
Yes, because of how he's talking about the footsteps of an ant. And he's saying that it creeps in like that. Okay. Yeah.
The fact that there are levels of iman would necessitate that shirk can enter your iman.
The fact that there are levels of iman would necessitate. Tell you, but... yeah, go ahead. Father.
Al-kibr.
Al-kibr min shu'ab al-shirk, but that's not...
Now when you have the iman in the similar age, you feel yourself like you get to a level of iman.
Oh, because if a person rises in the ranks of iman, then they may become proud, and pride is from those... Tayyip. But what's the connection? Yeah.
Being slaves to other things?
Sorry?
Being slaves to other things.
That is shirk. Tell you.
Shirk negates you.
Thank you. That's it right there. The reason why we're talking about shirk is because it negates your ubudiyyah. So if we're talking about servitude, then what is going to start taking away from a person's ubudiyyah is going to be its opposite, which is shirk. And so we really can't talk about, as they say, will be ضدها تتميز الأشياء. Things become clear by knowing their opposites. We could talk about light all day right now. I make it real easy for you. Let's turn them all off. And then everybody's like, oh, okay, now I get it. Now I know what light is. So, same thing. So we want to talk about these levels of iman, these levels of al-ubudiyyah. Well, one of the ways to make that very clear is to start going through looking at where shirk creeps in and what are common forms of shirk that people fall into that they may not even realize. And so once we start seeing, oh, wow, that's tarnishing my ubudiyyah, then you'll start to see how to get to the level where you need to be in terms of iman. And this is why, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that Shaykh al-Islam, immediately after talking about iman being of, or al-ubudiyyah being of various levels, he begins to talk about shirk being subtle and how it creeps into this ummah. Read this, inshallah. Right here.
That should be Ma'qil. Let's get that
out. Hey, well, Ma'qil ibn Yasar.
Ma'qil ibn Yasar, radiallahu anh, said that he came to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with Abu Bakr, radiallahu anh. He said, Abu Bakr, shirk.
Yani, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said,
Abu Bakr, shirk is more inconspicuous than the movement of ants. Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, said, is shirk something besides associating a deity with Allah?
In other words, and just understand this from its apparent meaning, that why would we consider shirk to be something that is inconspicuous or subtle, right? When... Azim, can you move this way too, just in case? So, why would we consider something to be what is so subtle about shirk when we're talking about the worship of other than Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, which usually is going to have what? Outward manifestation. Somebody's pride, especially during the time of the when paganism was clear. So we're talking about people who are literally prostrating to idols that are in front of them, right? This is something that's clear. So is shirk something besides associating a deity with Allah? The Prophet said.
The Prophet said, "By him in whose hand is my life, shirk is more subtle than the movement of ants. Shall I not teach you something which, if you say, will eliminate the minor and the major of it, polytheism?"
Yani shirk. Say.
"Say, O Allah, I seek refuge in you, lest I associate anything with you while I know, and I seek your forgiveness for that which I do and I don't know."
For which I do not know. Nah. قال اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أشرك بك وأنا أعلم وأستغفرك لما لا أعلم. And this dua, there's some weakness in this in the chain of narration. But Shaykh Al-Bani rahimahullah said a hadith sahih. It's in Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, which is a book that was a book of hadith by Imam Al-Bukhari, but not to the same standard. He didn't hold himself to the same standard in that book that he did in Sahih Al-Bukhari. In any event, this dua is a great dua for a Muslim to memorize, and we should say it frequently. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lam. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from committing shirk with you while I know. Like knowingly committing shirk with you. Wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. And I seek your forgiveness for that which I don't know. Which means that a person may do what? May commit shirk and they don't even realize it. They don't even realize it. For this dua is azim jiddan, and I hope that you all take the time to memorize it. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana adam. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from knowingly committing shirk with you. Wa astaghfiruka lima la adam. And I seek your forgiveness for that which I do not know. Nah. Accordingly,
the heart becomes a slave to what it is attached, to that which is attached.
Mm-hmm. Right. Accordingly, according to a Sahih Hadith.
So,
right there. Right where you start.
Okay. According to a Sahih Hadith, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Wretched is the slave of the dirham, and the slave of the dinar, and the slave of velvet and brocade. He is doomed to failure. If he is afflicted with a thorn, may he not be able to remove it. If he is given, he is content. But if he is not given, he becomes angry." The Prophet said, described such a person as being a slave of the dirham and dinar and the velvet and a brocade, and stated that he is doomed to failure. He also prayed that if such a person were pricked by a thorn, a minor affliction.
Didn't say a minor affliction. Should just leave it as it is, which is pricked by a thorn.
Mm-hmm. He would not be able to remove it.
No.
This is the situation of a person who may be afflicted by calamity, but is not able to overcome it because he is doomed to failure. So he can neither achieve his aim nor rid himself of the thing he hates. This is the situation of one who is a slave to wealth and material possessions, who is described as being content when he is given something, but and angry when it is withheld from him.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you to read that again. But let's take a look at this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said wretched. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said ta'isa addu dinar, and ta'isa means halak, yani may he perish. Okay, may he be destroyed. And we know that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was the rahmatan lil alameen. He was sent as a mercy to mankind. That's not common in the language of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So similarly, you know how when you see somebody, you've never seen them get angry before. They're usually very mild tempered, and you see them get angry. Doesn't that mean something to you? It means something, because that's not normally how they are. Something must have been really bad to get them to that level. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam here, this is not his normal speech. Ta'isa abdu dinar. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying, perish, the slave of the dinar, of the dirham, of the qatifa. And the qatifa is what you sit on. So, I mean, I don't, it says here velvet. It is a type of material, but it, in other words, what a person sits on. They actually become a slave to their couch. Or their khamisa, which is their garment. وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. But the garment of taqwa, to adorn oneself with taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is better than anything that a person is going to put on, you know, physically put on their body. So here, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is showing that a person may become a slave. Yani, how does a person become a slave to these things? And Shaykh al-Islam explained it a little bit afterwards. A person becomes a slave because their mind is preoccupied with these things. So they become a slave of the dinar, which is the gold currency, the dirham, which is silver currency. They become a slave to a dollar, rial, whatever it might be. They become a slave to this thing because their whole life revolves around getting wealth. It's all about wealth. That's their whole life. They wake up on it. They go to sleep on it. They dream about it. That's all they talk about. When they get together with their friends, everything is about how to make more money, how not to lose money, this becomes their total preoccupation. And they are willing to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for money. So what, riba is haram? So what? We live in America. And it's how you make money here in America. It's how you make money. Not a durura, yani a situation, a person is just, you know, out on the streets. This is the only way to survive or whatever. No, this is how you make money in America. And Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, right? Allah is most forgiving. He's the most merciful. Just do you. So this person now is doing what? Because their heart is so attached to wealth, then that's it. They're ready to throw away whatever relationship they have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because that is more important to them. Or the qatifa, what they sit on, what they ride, their camels, their Lexuses, or whatever else it might be, any whatever form of material wealth. But it's crazy because you own that thing, but it actually owns you. Or al-khamisa, which is the garment. A person, all they think about is what they're going to wear, how they're going to wear it, the newest this, to follow the latest trends, spend 2 hours in the mirror, this, because that is what is important to them. And there's nothing. Yes, yeah.
Isn't it also an attachment to this world, this life here, opposed to the hereafter?
Exactly what he's saying. So a person does what? What motivates them is not the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not the motivating factor for them. One of these things, the dunya, becomes what motivates them. It's what makes them push on the gas or pump the brakes. That's their engine. And it's their transmission. Go and drive or reverse. Dunya. If he is given, then he is pleased. If he gets that whatever his aim is, then that's what makes him happy. Doesn't matter whether he misses a lot for it. That's what makes him happy. And if he doesn't get it, then he is upset. He's upset. This is what his rida and his sakht are for. This is what makes or breaks him. And so, our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam called this person a what? An abd. Who's he talking about here? Kafirs? Nah. He's talking about people who claim Islam. This is who this is initially talking about. People who claim Islam, but that's how their life works. And so the alarm clock is not set for Salat al-Fajr. Alarm clock is set for work. Nah. Wallahu al-musta'an. Allah Musta'an. Now,
the translation of what Allah says, and among them are men who slander you.
Yani the munafiqeen. Among them. Remember, when you read, know what your pronouns go back to. And among them, yani, among the munafiqeen, the hypocrites.
In the matter of the distribution of alms, if they are given part thereof, they are pleased. But if not, indeed, behold, they are indignant. Neither their pleasure nor their anger is for the sake of Allah.
Read that again. Neither.
Neither their pleasure nor their anger is for the sake of Allah.
Which means what? That a believer's pleasure is in what pleases Allah. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah made iman beloved to you, and He made it beautiful in your hearts. He made that something that you love. You loved iman and its manifestation. These things become detested to you. Disbelief and major and minor sins. Nah.
Things moderately, correct? In a sense,
the Prophet, the love that's moderate is for people. Ahbib habibaka hawnan ma. Asa in yakuna baghidaka yawman ma. Love the one whom you love moderately, because he may be someone you do not like one day. But when it comes to salat, we don't love salat moderately. We don't love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moderately. We don't go to extremes in any. Because an extreme in anything is going to automatically lead to a deficiency in its opposite, which is necessary. So if you go to an extreme in hope in Allah, it's going to lead to deficiency in your fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even those have to be balanced. Okay? Nah. Fadal.
Slaves to their desires.
Nah.
This is also the situation of a man who is attached to a position of leadership, or to a beautiful image, or any other kind of desire.
So that we know here, when Shaykh al-Islam is talking about aswar, he's talking about images. He's talking also not just about, for example, a painting. He's talking about something that you look at that now, yes, creates this image in your mind that you can't get rid of. You are in love with the idea of something.
Or any other kind of desire. If he gets what he wants, he is happy. But if he does not achieve it, he becomes angry. So he is a slave to whatever it is that he desires, because enslavement is essentially the enslavement of the heart. Whatever the heart is enthralled by is the thing of which the heart is a slave.
Okay, so that translation is a little... because enslavement is essentially the enslavement of the heart. Servitude, as Shaykh al-Islam says, الرِّقُّ وَالْعُبُودِيَّةِ فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ هُوَ رِقُّ الْقَلْبِ وَعُبُودِيَّةُ. This statement right here. All right. So we talk about real servitude and subjugation. That is the heart. That is the عُبُودِيَّةِ. And the subjugation of the heart. Whatever the heart is attached. If it's attached to leadership. How many people kill people so that they can be the leader? They'll take a person's life. Or thousands of people's lives. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made sacred. For what? Leadership. If that's not ubudiyyah, then what is? This person is really willing to literally take the lives of Allah's servants, so that they can be in a position of leadership. And that is a ta'alluq bil riyasa. Yani their heart is so attached to power and leadership that they're willing to do anything. Anything. Because there's really nothing more. What more can you do than kill thousands of people? No, seriously. So a person is willing to do anything to reach that level. And so this actually is slavery. The heart becomes a slave. Class. Questions finished till the end of the lesson, inshallah. Sorry? So, of course. So that's way less. Destroying somebody's character and killing 1,000 people? Okay. I'm saying people are willing to kill people. Maligning somebody's character, lying about them, slandering, that's way less than actually killing people. So the point is that what now? That this person's heart has become so attached to leadership that they are willing to do anything. Now, people from the outside will look at that and believe that this is a show of strength. They admire it. He comes and he did what? In order, he put a stake in the ground. He killed everything. That is weakness. Because his heart is so attached to that thing that he is willing to do anything for it. And that is why certain agencies around the world, when they want to get somebody to work for them, they look for their what? Weakness. They look for their weakness. One of three things, which is money, women, power. And they call it what?
Success.
A weakness. They're going to exploit that weakness. It's a weakness. When a person's heart is attached to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah alone, and that's what moves them. They're not going to do anything that is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's nothing they can't, there's nothing, how can they exploit that person? They can't, because he doesn't have any weaknesses in that sense. Allah. But we have to be able to what? Recognize that and turn the tables. Because a lot of times we think of those things as strengths. Nah. That's weakness. Because the heart is enslaved to those things. Nah.
For this reason, the Arab poets said, the slave is free so long as he is content, and the free man is a slave so long as he is greedy. I followed my
read that again. Read that again. I don't think this is some real hikmah right here.
The slave is free so long as he is content.
Listen to that. A slave, a real slave, he belongs to somebody. Slavery was a real thing. He is owned by another man. He is free as long as he's content. As long as he is content. He has because nobody can hold anything over him. His heart is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now.
And the free man is a slave so long as he is greedy.
A free man. Nobody owns him. He's free to roam the earth. But what? Yatma. Much greedy. I don't really like that translation. Yatma. He has too many aspirations. He not like as in good aspiration. He wants things all the time. Not necessarily greedy. He just needy. Yeah, that's even better. He wants stuff. He's needy. He always is looking for the next thing. He's not free. As you'll see, read the next statement.
I followed my desires and they enslaved me.
That's what the poet said. Now.
If only I had been content with my lot, I would be free.
I would be free. Allahu Akbar.
It is said that greed and longing are like chains around the neck and shackles on the feet. Even if the chain is removed from the neck, the feet are still shackled.
Well, that translation not correct. When the chain is removed from the neck, then the feet will not be shackled. That's what it should say. So once the chain is removed from the neck, it is said that greed and longing are like chains around the neck and shackles on the feet. When the chain is removed from the neck, the chain removed from the neck means that this person is no longer the neck. When is what determines the direction, is what determines the direction. So when that is freed, then that which is on the feet will also be freed, meaning that person is totally free. In any event, one of the early scholars said, "Lo qila lit-tama man abuk." So, if it is said, how would you translate tama? Because I don't really have a good word for it. It's greed. I don't really like the greed. That's not. It's a little different. Extreme desire type. Is there one word for that?
If you really want.
Hold on. Ambition. That's what you said, Shay? I like that. If it's said to ambition, but it's more like a covetous type of ambition, a craving. If it is said to tamak, who's your father? Who's your daddy? Astaghfirullah. Qal ash-shakku fil maqdur. Ash-shakku fil maqdur. Meaning that he doubts what has been decreed for him. This is what makes a person overly ambitious. Hey, he doesn't really have strong iman bil qadr. Which is why you can see Shaykh al-Islam spent a lot of time in the beginning of this risala talking about qadr. Because qadr is, as Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, radiallahu anhuma, he said, al-qadru nizamu tawheed. That your belief in qadr is what keeps your tawheed in order. It's what keeps tawheed in order. So when a person is what? When a person doesn't really have that strong belief that what is meant to come to him is going to come to him, and what was not meant for him is not going to be there, then he starts craving things that and being overly ambitious for things that are not really meant for him. Nah.
It was reported that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, greed is poverty and resignation is wealth.
Resignation. La. Qala rahimahullah, at-tama'u faqrun wal-ya'su ghina. Al-ya's. Al-ya's. Resignation, madri. I don't think that works here. Ya's is to despair. To give up. You let it go. You give it up. You give it up. So he says what? Hope, like that kind of hope, that tamar, that ambitious hope, is what? Poverty. He says that's fakr. It's poverty. Why? Why do you think that's poverty? What is it? What does it mean to be impoverished? It means to?
Not have.
Tell you, not have means to need. So he says what? Ambitious hope is need. Right. It's poverty because you always feel like you need something. What does it matter if a person eats and eats and eats and they still feel hungry? No, seriously. What did they get out of eating? Another person eats same amount of calories and they feel extra full. You have to stop. They didn't eat as much as that person. So here, a person who just always needs, that person is poor, no matter how much they have, because they always what? Want more. They always want more. They're always in need of something, right? But then he says, "Wal yatsu ghina," to give up hope of something, is that's real ghina. That's wealth. And then he goes on to explain it. Go ahead.
This is something which...
You didn't finish reading it, Sheikh.
Okay. When greed is poverty and resignation is wealth, when any one of you gives up hope of something, it becomes independent.
When he gives up hope, he becomes independent of it. Give me an example. How does that work?
If someone owes you something, and you're looking for, and finally you decide that they're never going to give it to you, you're freed from that.
Okay. So, but that's your right, though. So let's look at it from a different way. Now,
you're trying to get a job, you don't think they're going to hire you, so you start looking elsewhere.
Right. So okay, so you're trying to get a job. There's a place you have no hope that they're going to hire you. Maybe you even throw your application in there, but you have no hope that they're going to hire you. So you're not even what? You're not even worried about whether you get hired by them or not because you're looking elsewhere.
Looking for the worst, hoping for the best.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. This is different from the concept of hoping for the best and preparing for the worst. This is different. This is where I don't hope for that thing in the first place. I don't have any expectations for that thing. That's how you become independent. That's how you become independent of things and people. That's how you become independent of things and people. Yeah, I don't have any expectations for them. So, this is what's going to lead to our next part. Now,
this is something anyone can feel in his heart.
How does a person get to the point of al-qana'ah, where they are content and independent of expectation, or they don't have any expectation? How do you get to the point of qana'ah? Okay, mumtaz, excellent. So number one, and there's a number two and a number three. Number one is true iman bil qadr. This is how you become content. And content, as the Prophet ﷺ said, being content is real wealth. Laysa al-ghina kathratil arab. Having wealth is not that you are, that you have a whole lot of possessions. Walakin al-ghina ghina nafs. So that's number one. Real dependence upon Allah, afwan. Real iman bil qadr. And then I just gave you number two, which is at-tawakkul. That's how you become content. Because at this point, your expectations and your hopes are with the one who can grant your expectations and hopes, and they're not with the people who are going to disappoint you. Number three, haqiqatu ma'rifati dunya, really knowing, understanding the reality of this dunya. Allah gives this dunya to whom He loves and whom He does not love. And if this dunya were to mean anything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then those who reject faith in Him would not have a drink. They wouldn't even have anything to drink. This dunya means absolutely nothing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so our striving for that which means nothing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows a real lack of understanding. Fire. Now,
this is something which anyone can feel in his heart. But when he gives up something, he no longer wants it or longs for it. He no longer feels in need of it or of the one who can help him to get it. If he longs for it, hopes for something, then his heart is attached to it. And he feels that he is in need of it and of the one whom he thinks can be the means to this end.
Allahu Akbar. Please read that again. If he longs for and hopes for something. Pay attention to this. If you have the book, highlight it, put stars next to it, and make sure that you understand this point. Now,
if he longs for and hopes for something, then his heart is attached to it. And if he feels that he is in need of it, and of the one whom he thinks can be the means.
Not if he feels, and he feels that he is in need of it.
And he feels that he is in need of it, and of the one whom he thinks can be the means to this end.
Right, so not just the thing itself. He also becomes attached to the person or the people he thinks can get him that thing. You understand? So, subhanAllah, when the heart becomes attached to something, and listen to this, because this is very important. That type of attachment, which diverts one from the worship of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and tabi, it diverts one from the worship of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, or causes him to be stingy in his obligations to Allah, then that is a form of shirk. And according to how much of that is in the heart, you will lose its opposite in al-ubudiyyah. Clear? So what are we talking about here? Longing for and hoping for. So that we're very clear, because the ubudiyyah is the ubudiyyah of the heart. What are you longing for? What do you really want? And so when you get attached to that thing, if that thing diverts you, and it will, depending on how much you're attached to it, diverts you from number one, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or number two, it makes you stingy in fulfilling your obligations to Allah. What do we mean by stingy and fulfilling those obligations to Allah? You try to cut corners. You try to cut corners in your worship of Allah. And you hear it. People ask questions all the time because they're looking to cut corners. How can I get out of this form of worship?
Like,
How can I get out of it? How can I do the least possible, you know, amount? This is taking a person down a very slippery slope. Now,
this is the case in matters of wealth and power and beautiful images or people, etc.
So yeah, it's not just material, you know, things, not just wealth, but also power, beautiful images, being attached to things you long for. You're willing to do anything. You're willing to do haram to get what it is that you want. That is ubudiyya. And that's why it's very important that we don't think of shirk simply as idol worship, going to a church and praying to a statue of al-Masih. How do you say that? That's a form of shirk, but it is not the only form. And like Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala stresses on several occasions, it is not conceivable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send the messengers to break the idols, that is, the physical structures, and leave the idols in the heart. It's not conceivable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send them like that. Nah.
Seeking sustenance from Allah.
Tayyib. So we've made it to we made it halfway to what I was expecting to cover today. But inshallah, hopefully, and we're going to stop because it's 8:50 and I've been going for an hour. And if you have some questions, we can ask those questions. And so you can ask those questions now. Even though I say right here that you shouldn't ask the creation, that's a different kind of asking. Asking for knowledge is outside of the scope of what is impermissible in terms of asking the creation. So we're going to cover this part next week, inshallah ta'ala, which is asking the creation. Mas'alatul khalq. Tayyib. Any questions about what we covered? Nah, go ahead.
So more so what we covered today was more so regarding shirk al-khafi. Inconspicuous shirk.
Inconspicuous shirk. Yeah, it is khafi in that sense. It's inconspicuous. It's subtle, but a person feels it. A person feels it. It's just subtle in the sense that it does creep. It creeps in, and other people may not be aware of it. Now, Sheikh. Okay, yeah, okay. Tell you. So, good question, Zakallahu Khairan. So the question is, what is the difference between despair, as in al-ya'su ghina, yani giving up hope of things is true wealth, and a person just being apathetic, meaning they don't work for anything. They don't put effort forward. They don't strive for things. And there's no contradiction between you striving for something but your heart not being attached to the outcome of that thing. So our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, al-mu'min al-qawi khayrun wa ahabu ilallah min al-mu'min al-da'if fi kullin khayr. The strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer, and in both of them is good. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, what? Ihris ala ma yanfa'uk. Strive to do that which will bring you benefit. Strive to do that which will bring you benefit. Wa la ta'jizan. Wa in asabaka shay. But look, through your striving, maybe what? Maybe you don't get what it is that you were striving for. Something happens. In asabaka shay. If there's any calamity that befalls you, don't say, lo enni fa'altu lakana kada wa kada. Don't say, oh, if I would have only done such and such, then the outcome would have been such and such. Because now what? You've attached the outcome to your striving. But it's not. That's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you still have to do what? You still have to strive. Like we're going to cover in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man yastaghni yughnihillah." Whoever seeks to be independent, Allah will make him independent. What did you just hear right there? Whoever does what?
Seeks.
Not whoever wants to be independent. Not whoever thinks about being independent. He sits in his bed and says, "I really want to be independent." No. Whoever goes out, seeks to be independent, yastaghni, he's trying to be independent. Then Allah will make him be independent. Allah will help him to get his independence, to be free of need from others. And so there's no contradiction. And we don't look at that as, you know, two opposites. You strive. You put your best foot forward. But your hopes, your dreams, your expectations are not attached to what you believe should be the outcome of your striving. But instead, your heart is attached to Rabbil Alameen. Now, Muhammad, you had a question or was it neither? I saw a hand over this way. Tayyib Abdul Khafid.
Well, this, the last section you were speaking about, would it fall up under Tayyum?
Like Taymullah, Tayyum?
No.
In what sense?
You're
saying like a person's love for something has gone, it has enslaved them. No doubt about it. And that's actually, we'll get there. As we move through the book, you'll see the connections. You'll see the connections. And what happens is, it's going to come maybe another six pages or so, where Shaykh al-Islam talks about how the shu'ara of the Arab, yani the Arab poets of the past, they used to take pride in calling themselves the slaves of whatever woman they were in love with. Because that showed how deep their love was. You know, ana Abdu Salma. You know? Nah. Tayyib. Wallahu a'lam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.